everybody. Eve Harrow, Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. It is now Monday, November 16th, or towards the end of the day, the 29th day of Cheshvan, 5781. I hope all of you are well and had a better week last week than the week before, and that the week coming up will be even better. I don't even know what to say anymore with everything going on in this crazy place. And I'm really happy to have via Zoom today. So I think this is up on YouTube. You guys should be able to watch this if you want to do more than just hear it. And if you are watching, you can see my earrings, which are made out of recycled coffee pods. So, yeah, when I'm not wearing a mask, I can wear earrings. Otherwise, there's just too much going on my head, as all of you know. In any event, on to today's interview. I am with Ofra Shoshtari, who is an art management specialist. I discovered her. I found out about her because even though I am so completely not artistic, like stick figures are a stretch for me, I'm not joking. I belong to one of the Facebook lists of artists in Judea and Samaria. Some of my very good friends are incredibly talented people, and I'm always like following and seeing what's going on. And Ofra is right in the thick of things right now. So first of all, thank you so much for joining me today on Rejuvenation.
Thank you for having me, Eve.
All right. So tell us, first of all, a bit about you. What is an art management specialist? I think it's the first time I've heard that term.
I studied art history and curation. My first degree is from the University of Maryland in museum studies. And I did a master's at the University of Haifa in art history and curation. It's like they have a curator's track. And I did a thesis as well as part of that. And then I've worked in galleries and museums, both in the U.S. and in Israel, and sort of behind the scenes, you know, sort of like you need somebody who works behind the scenes for a play or for, you know, any sort of production. Mm-hmm. Putting up an exhibition is a production, and there are a lot of people that are behind the scenes. So I'm one of those people.
So are you yourself artistically talented, or you were drawn more to the organizational side of things?
Oh, that's a good question. I started college taking art classes and found I liked the critiques the best.
Okay.
And then I was very good at sort of noticing what was good and what was less good in other people's work and helping to guide people. And really loved art theory and art history. And so I went in that direction.
Right. The intellectual side, I suppose, of art. Yeah. So I should have told everybody where you live. You live here in Israel. For how long? For how long have you been in Israel?
I live in Israel already for 11 years. I started in Jerusalem. Then I did my master's in Haifa. Right. And then I lived in Tel Aviv. And when I got married, I moved to Netanya. And I moved last year to a yeshuv called Einav, which is in the Shomron.
And that's where this whole saga begins, yes? We're becoming involved in Judea and Samaria. So tell us how you got into while you're on the podcast today.
Sure. So when I first moved to Einav, I gave a talk to youth here, 16 to 18 year olds, about art and museums. And I was very sad to learn that I think one of them had been to an art museum in Israel in their life. And I know that's not the norm, because I work in an art museum and I see kids there every day. And the more I talk to people in the Shomron and I talk to artists here, I learned that it's really something that's missing in this area. There's no central place for artists and art viewing, and for kids to come to see art, and for even for residents to come buy art. There's no space like that exists. So I started to interview artists and see what their needs are, and to talk more to residents and see what their needs are, and try to dream of a place that could suit that need. Of course, with COVID, everything has to wait, but that doesn't mean it can't start. So I started thinking about ways that I can even start now. And one of those ways is that Facebook group, where I've started to guide artists to be more on the professional side of things, less on their creative side. They are very talented. They don't need me there, or less need me there, the more need how to organize their studios and how to present themselves to curators, how to find calls for artists and that kind of thing. That's where I step in.
Mm-hmm. So somebody might say, well, why does Judea and Samaria need their own space? The population is kind of dispersed across the area. I mean, Ariel, I suppose, is the biggest city, Male Adumim Ariel, but they have maybe 40,000, maybe 50,000 residents. why can't you just organize an exhibition or organize for artists from Judea and Samaria to be able to show in the galleries that already exist in Tel Aviv and in Haifa and what I call Little Israel? Like, why is there a need for something specifically for the artists of Judea and Samaria?
Well, I think the art market and just art in general in Tel Aviv is a very saturated market. It's very hard for anyone to break in from anywhere in Israel because it's just that's where everybody is, like in New York as well. And it wouldn't really serve the community here. The community here doesn't go there. It's far for them. It's, you know, kind of another world for them. And it doesn't even necessarily suit their needs. About half the population in Shomron, I'm not sure about Judea, but half the population in Shomron is some form of religious and half is secular. So that also limits what they can go view.
Or go on Saturday or go on Shabbat.
Sure. When they can go. Travel.
Right.
Right. Uh-huh. And they're less inclined to go to Tel Aviv to a museum, whereas if it was more closer by, somewhere that was willing to suit their needs religiously or whatever, you know, then they may be more inclined to go, especially if it's somewhere close to a tourist site that they already go to. If it's in Ariel, it can be close to Shiloh. If they're already going to Shiloh, they can also stop at the art gallery and visit art and meet artists and see sort of that other cultured side that already exists here but doesn't have a platform.
I wonder if they're like, when it comes to the schools, if there's also maybe a budgetary issue. You know, you have to rent a bus and it's a whole thing.
Absolutely. There's always a budgetary issue, and it's easier to interest a mwatza in sponsoring maybe a field trip if it's something that has to do with the population here. To send them to Tel Aviv, less inclined than to send them to something that specifically supports artists from this area, which is another reason why it's a space, my imagined space, is a space for artists in the Shomron to serve the residents in the Shomron. Because if it's for the artists in the Shomron, then the mozot, there are many here, the mozot the regional are more
councils.
Inclined to support it. Yeah,
right.
Sorry,
right.
Thank you, the regional councils. The municipalities are more inclined to support it because it supports their residents, and that's one of their goals.
Do you find, as an art, let's say, critic, if you will, or someone who understands different genres, is there a different kind of art? Now, I assume we're talking about paintings, right? Because we can use the word art loosely. No? So let's define art. Let's start with that. How are you defining art?
Sure. So I personally work in visual art. Art can cover any sort of creative outlet, but I personally work in visual art, and I wouldn't limit that by media. There are artists who work in lots of different media. There's I know there's a fabric artist who is making beautiful challah covers in the Yehudon Shomron group, and I would love to find a way to be able to help her as well. I don't see a line there. Painting obviously is the easiest thing for the regular public to accept as art, but I would not limit it by media, for sure not.
Mm-hmm. So is there a certain style of people in Judea Samaria, maybe like a different focus? The reason I'm asking is because, and I'm by no means an art expert, I do love going to museums when they used to be open and people used to be able to go and see things. I know what I like, I know what I don't like, but some of what appears, especially modern art, to qualify as art, to me, looks like somebody just stood a few meters away and threw paint at the canvas. And I realize that I'm a very, you know, uneducated person, and there must be some vast meaning in there that I can't see. But are you finding that there are certain schools of art, I don't even know how to put it, that you find more in Judea and Samaria, more landscapes, for example, because of living in areas that are very hilly and maybe more in tune with nature rather than living in a more urban environment? Is there something there, or it's just as varied as anywhere else?
So far what I've seen, look, I've only seen a limited amount of the artists so far in the Judea and Samaria, and I want to expand the group as much as possible, but from what I've seen so far, there's definitely a lot of landscapes, a lot of very talented artists in realism, you know, sort of making it look like the real world, and definitely some more expressive ones that are more towards abstraction. And by the way, Jackson Pollock did exactly what you said. So it's totally, he stood a few feet away from canvas.
I didn't give any names. Right.
But But that has a lot to do with the history of art. And again, another reason why Tel Aviv may be not the right place for a lot of these artists, because a lot of the art in Tel Aviv is specifically for people who are educated in art and know the history of art and are referencing art history. And the population here is less likely to know that, which doesn't mean that it can't begin to educate them in that history, because I think it's very rich and interesting. And you're also allowed to not like art, certain kinds of art. That's totally your prerogative, and curators choose. So when you go into an art museum, you can disagree with the curator and you can say, this is not art to me. And that is completely legitimate. You're your own tastemaker. Mm-hmm. So just that might be another reason, though, why this space is necessary.
Right.
Because the spaces in Tel Aviv are, you know, going to be a little bit more avant-garde and shocking, because mm-hmm. that's how you stand out in a place where there's a lot.
Right. Well, that makes sense. And how about biblical or religious themes? Do you find that more in Judea and Samaria?
Definitely.
A, because maybe the population leans more that way, although not necessarily. But again, because you mentioned Shiloh, in places where there's a deep, deep history like that, I would imagine that it seeps into the work that the people there do to some degree. Is that what you found?
Absolutely. Absolutely, there's a good amount of religious influence, and some of that does have to do with people's own personal, you know, mm-hmm. spiritualism. And I think actually it's really meaningful when it comes from somebody who feels that that's part of who they are,
right.
That they're creating art that has a lot of meaning for them, and it's not just, you know, a picture of Moshe because that's what sells, but rather that's really meaningful for them, and that makes it a much deeper piece to me, at least. Mm-hmm. And I really value that. And, you know, it's nice to have that aspect, that spiritualism for the population here, which is more my team for that. A lot of the artists who deal with more Judaica themes have asked me, how do I break into Tel Aviv? And I tell them, no, you don't go to Tel Aviv. You go to Jerusalem, because that's where their art is going to be more accepted. And that's the population they want to reach. It just doesn't really make sense to go after a population who's not interested in you.
Is there, I mean, if we're, let's say, talking about Jewish/Israeli art, and I know that there's a big difference between the two, is mm-hmm. there less of a history of Jewish art because there have been over the years this kind of, you know, I don't know if it's a taboo, but, you know, against graven images? I mean, do we have, you have like the Chagall, right? And he was mm-hmm. maybe the most famous, and he did what, you know, he drew weddings and all kinds of Jewish events, life events. But
sure.
when you learned art history, is there kind of a hole, or there wasn't really Jewish art because of some of these religious influences, or maybe just because people didn't have the time or the exposure to be able to do that? It was more going to get a job and, you know, learning practical professions, if you will. Do you see a distinction there in Jewish history that played itself out or didn't play itself out on paper?
Sure. That's also a very interesting question. I think it's multifaceted. First of all, art as we know it, the Western art world, mm-hmm. was very Christian
right.
and very exclusive. And that's who the patrons were. The church was the patron. You know, if you look at Renaissance art, they'd be very hard pressed to find Jewish artists because they weren't what the general public was looking for at that time. And as you said, there is an issue of making a graven image. Mm-hmm. And that is a problem for a lot of Jewish artists. Chagall himself grew up religious, but was no longer religious when he was making these images. And most Jewish artists that are, you know, part of that sort of avant-garde French art at the time of Chagall were not religious. They, mm-hmm. many of them grew up religious, but were no longer religious when they were making art. It definitely complicates things and is an issue for a lot of religious people. There's no question. But I do, on the other hand, know a lot of religious artists who either found a way around that or decided that it doesn't apply for whatever reasons they found a way mm-hmm. to make images. And we are the people of the book, and we're very creative. And you can
yes.
see also in architecture, like, you know, synagogue architecture, there was a lot of creativity and a lot of artisan crafts and stuff like that. So I definitely think it's in our history, but in different ways. And also, if you look at other cultures, you know, art was not art for art's sake. It was art that was applied to life or to religion.
Right. Like you see the ancient prayer books where they have, for example, in the Israel Museum, the beautiful decorations on each page of some of the books that they have. They're just magnificent. And the Passover Haggadot or whatever it is. And to be able to, I think it's called Illuminate. Is that the when they
Illumination, yeah.
Illumination, when they put that in the books. So give us your vision. All right. You're going around now. You're talking to as many artists as you can. You're getting a feel for what their needs are, the different types of art, be it paintings, be it sculpture, be it weaving, whatever it is. Is that the stage you're at right now?
So my ultimate goal is that there will be a physical space that will be multi-purpose. It will have a gallery. It will have a store and studios, artist studios for a residency program where I'll help guide those artists and people can meet them. And also classrooms, in order to have both the workshops when people come to visit the space and also for the local residents to have workshops on a regular basis and for students who come. So it's like after speaking to, many, many people, this seems to fix a lot of the, you know, holes that are the things that are missing here in terms of art, and be able to help a lot of different populations at once, both by giving the artist jobs and a place to show and also being a space for local residents to buy art and to see art and for students to learn about art and for tourists to come as well. But for now, I wanted to already get started. I don't want to wait until, you know, that can happen, because that will take donations, that will take partnerships with the municipalities, and that takes time. First, so I decided to make an artist registry. I actually already bought the URL. It's mared.org.il, and I'm working with a web developer to build a space that will be a registry, a directory of artists. It's not going to be an e-commerce site, but it'll be a place where you can find artists. You could buy from them once you message them and privately continue that conversation. But a way to then search and see what's here already and show that wealth of art. And it would be a curated space. I would screen who gets in and what gets shown to make sure that it's appropriate and that it's on a professional level and showcases our best talent here in Judea and Samaria.
Wow. Are you only going with Jewish artists, or because there are other residents in Judea and Samaria as well? You're starting off with the Jewish artists, or it's for residents of Judea and Samaria? Sorry for a politically loaded question.
That's all right. I'm not a political, I don't want to be a political space. I am very happy to accept anybody who lives in the area of Judea and Samaria. I recognize that it would probably be complicated for someone, you know, who's a Palestinian artist to join from their own side. Right. But I am here with open arms for anybody who makes quality art and is here in Judea and Samaria.
So it occurs to me that some of my listeners might be listening, and I know that I've had people speak to me over the years about that they would love to be able to have a piece of Judea and Samaria. They very much feel that their hearts are here, that their roots are here. Especially many of my listeners are very attached to the Bible, and this is where it happened. So even though you don't yet have a space, and who knows with COVID, you know, we'll see a physical space, are you, in addition to having a list of artists, are you also perhaps starting, or could you start, some kind of mailing list? Like people could write you already, and you could have already start a mailing list so that you could keep people in tune with what you're doing. I don't know, put out a note every couple of months. This is where I'm at. I've met with now 100 artists. We're making progress on the space, but you could already be in touch with these artists and buy prints from them or whatever it is, so that even during these crazy times where people physically can't be here and we don't know when that's going to open up, they could still already start, you know, having a virtual studio, if you will, before you actually have the real one. Is that something that you can do?
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. And we'll have a sign up on the website. And if you can include that in the post, then people can already sign up to be on that mailing list.
Okay.
And we can start a conversation. And I hope to have the website up in, you know, a couple of months. It shouldn't take too long to get that started. I know exactly, I have a vision of how it's going to look. I've seen enough art websites to know where the best ones are and to, you know, pillage them for their UI UX. And you don't have to, you know, you don't have to start from scratch these days. It's totally, accepted to go and look at other websites and copy.
Of course. Right.
So it makes it a lot easier for the web developer to say, I want it to look like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or you could already have like meet the artist even online, and people around the world could get to know who they are, see their faces. And at least if they're not physically close to them, at least, you know, get involved with, see their art behind them. Again, it's not the same, but we're all having to make adjustments in this new world that we're living in. And, you know, maybe there's something, I don't know. That you
absolutely
could do.
Absolutely. I'd love to video studio visits maybe in the future and be able to put those up and send those out. I recently did a studio visit with Mark Provisor, who I know that you know. He's a talented artist and also in the security world, very interesting story, interesting person. Mm-hmm. And we had a great visit. And we've also discussed that, you know, in the future we should video these types of visits, and we can show also what a studio visit is like when a professional professional as myself meets with an artist, and where I can sort of help them, turn in what direction to turn in and how they can improve. Mark and I spoke a lot about how he's storing his artwork and how that can be better.
Oh, interesting.
Damage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Really practical tips. And I would also imagine that many of the artists here don't necessarily have a studio space or the garret with the north facing sun coming in just at the perfect angle to give them the exact kind of light and air that they need, because the homes here are smaller and people also don't necessarily have the financial means to be able to, you know, build their own studio. Are you going to be able to help people with that kind of idea, to maybe carve out little spaces or in their community find even a, you know, old mobile home or something that maybe you can get the council to make some kind of shared space for artists on their little communities? Because it's tough. It's really tough out here.
Definitely something I want to deal with in the future. And also that my residency program would provide them with a studio space, people who are sort of at the beginning of their emerging artists, at the beginning of their path. And I would absolutely love to work with the different municipalities to create more art spaces that some places already have, some galleries. I know Ofra has an artist-run gallery, one of ours named Root, who I spoke to on the phone, and I've read about a few smaller spaces, and Tekoa is working on an artist village, which is for all the arts. They're definitely... are other places that are working towards, you know, smaller spaces. My vision is a little bit larger, and I want to help guide those spaces too. I don't want to be the only space. I want there to be an art scene here. And I want for other artists to take initiative and start their own thing. If you're finding that you're not accepted by the general art world, so create your own space. You know, that's what I plan to do. And that's what I think other people should do. You're not limited by other people. You can always, you know, carve out your own space. It just takes a little bit of drive and, you know, maybe a little bit of advice. I'm happy to guide people and help them.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're definitely what a lot of people need. I am sometimes blown away by how much talent I see in Judean Samaria. If it's jewelry, if it's ceramics, like, you know, the painting, we spoke about the weaving and the different colors that are used. It's just really like just tremendous reservoir of talent. But I think a lot of the people need a professional like you, because then they don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to sell it. They don't know how to market it. There have been limitations on people necessarily coming out here because they're nervous about coming out, or they're not physically in Israel, or whatever it is. And then they don't know where to sell their things or how to get it out there.
Absolutely. So, and yeah. I want them to manage their studios in a more professional manner too. Like this one artist in the group who, she has the most beautiful landscape. She's super talented and, you know, a slightly older artist. I think she's in her early 70s, and she doesn't have an inventory list. And it's really a tragedy, because then nobody else except for her knows what she made and where it all is. And it's really important to have all that all on record. And so I made a post this week about how to do that with Excel, just simple tools with Excel and photographs and, you know, marking your works with a number. so that other people can then access your work. And if you have it all digital, it's very, very easy. Felix to do this by hand, of course. But if you have it all digital, you can easily then communicate with a curator or with a client and be like, oh, this work sold, but I have another one like it, and search your inventory by all sorts of different things and find another work. You can, and where it is. And if you forgot, you don't have to worry, you know, oh, this is in my studio, this one's in my house, this one's on exhibition, and you know exactly where everything is at all times. It's really important to be organized. Artists like to think that they're bohemian and they can be disorganized. And you totally can if you have somebody else doing it for you. I think a lot of the male artists in the past had their wives doing it or their mistresses. But if you don't have someone else doing it for you, you got to do it yourself, or it's very easy for things to get lost and damaged. And it's really just, if you invest your heart and soul in a piece, it's so tragic for that to go to waste.
Yes. I had an artist on a couple of years ago whose studio burnt down. There was an arson fire, and wow, his name just flew out of my head. I'm having a senior moment. And oh God, I can't believe I can't remember his name. Anyway, and a good number of his works burnt to the ground. Yeah, it was really something else. Do you find, I don't know if this is something that you deal with, that the art supplies are as readily available here? Because, you know, Israel to a great degree is an island. I mean, we're working on not being an island anymore, but virtually everything has to be imported, from paints to just a lot of the chomer gelem, a lot of the basic supplies, the raw supplies. I'm just wondering if once you get this going, if maybe you can help on that level also, and, you know, maybe lower the cost if their costs are lower because they're paying less for some of the basic materials. The raw materials are costing less than perhaps, you know, the canvases and everything, you know, then it becomes better for everybody all the way around. Because I know that there are. Oh, okay, good. Because I know that there are just certain stores that sell, and there's really not so much as much competition as you would find, let's say, in a place like New York City, where there's a lot of different supply stores that you can shop around at. And here there's possibly less. So maybe from that aspect also, if you got kind of a cooperative together, you've already got the artists, and there's a little bit of also buying power there because you've got 200 artists, then, you know, maybe you could help them on that side as well. Because I know for some people that becomes some part of the prohibitive element into getting into what looks like a hobby, even though they kind of like to sell. But if you have to invest so much money just into your canvases or into your paints or into the clay or whatever it is, then it becomes just kind of a reason to not do it. So just thinking.
Absolutely.
Giving you more work.
Look, this is what I love to do, and I'm happy to have the work. I have to find people who are willing to donate so that I can afford to do the work, but I definitely have no problem with having the work. I enjoyed a lot making it possible for artists to make their beautiful pieces, in a easier way. One of the other things I want them to do is I want them to teach each other. Like, one of the things Mark and I discussed when I was in his studio was I asked him if he stretches his own canvases, and he does, but he told me that other artists have asked him how, because they don't know how. And it's very, very practical. If you know how to stretch your own canvas, you can save a lot of money. So these kind of things and techniques that they know, if, you know, one artist is printmaking, they can help the other artists and they can make prints for them, or they can teach them how to do different types of prints. And prints are a great way to reach a wider audience because you can make more than one, and they usually works on paper. And so they're cheaper to make than a painting, which can take a long time and is, you know, is with more expensive materials. And that's another thing I asked Mark to do was he has prints made of his works. He takes them to Jerusalem to a very special print place where they photograph them in very, very, very high quality or scan them, and then they make prints. And if you make prints of your work, then you can sell the original, of course, for more, and then you limit the amount of prints because you never have an unlimited amount, because then it's worth nothing. But you limit the amount of prints, and you can sell something almost as beautiful as the original for a lot less money, and then regular people can afford to buy them. You know, someone like me who makes a normal salary and doesn't, you know, isn't a rich collector can then afford to own one of your artworks, even though it's not, you know, the original. Still really.
Really great way. Wow. So do you see maybe one day having a show in one of the big museums around the world, like Artists of Judea and Samaria? Do you think that at some point in the future that's possible? If you create this kind of tag or aura, if you will, around people who are, you know, living and breathing in a very interesting environment. What did somebody say? I think I might have said this on my show a couple of weeks ago, and it keeps sticking in my head. In a place with too much history and too little geography, right? It just, and sometimes you feel it. Just there's a lot of passions. There's a lot of feelings that are going on here, and it definitely infuses the work. So can you see if you create that kind of idea that maybe one day that's even possible to do that?
It's totally possible. It will definitely take time. Once the space is built and I have the residency program, one of the things I wanted to do was bring in curators and art professionals from around the world, not just from around Israel, to come and advise the artists and also thereby expose this wealth of talent to a wider audience. And if, you know, once I get my website up, it's a way to also reach a wide group of people, not just those who are living here.
Right.
My number one goal is for, you know, artists for the residents here, but I also want them to be able to reach a wider audience and to bring more people here and to showcase this very cultured side of Judea and Samaria that isn't always seen because people come for the history and don't necessarily meet these super talented and very interesting residents.
Right. Right. And there's a lot of that here, a lot of super talent. And I also believe that art is a way of building bridges, of taking away stereotypes, you know, like even if it's not somebody that you politically agree with, you love their work and you can see past that. And I think that that's something that's also super needed in today's world where everything is so black and white. You know, if you don't like somebody's opinion on X, then nothing they do is going to be okay with you. And right. I think that this really has, hey, maybe you can do one in Bahrain. You can showcase artists of Judea and Samaria, you know, in our newfound friends. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm so glad. And like, I'm talking to you and thinking, duh, this is like what Ofer's doing is so obvious that this was needed. And it's so great that there's somebody doing it now. Like that there's really a professional here who's looking around and seeing what's happening. And I can see how passionate you are about it and how much you care.
Thank you.
And I think that that's fantastic. And I really, you know, wish you a tremendous amount of luck. Is there anything else you want to say? You want to give out the website again?
Yeah.
It's not built yet.
Mareh.org.il. Mareh, M-A-R-E-H. Mareh, it means appearance in Hebrew. And you can use it or visual, you know, vision, to see something. So since I'm dealing with visual art and, you know, it's what you see with your eyes, just to call it Mareh. And there'll be a landing page. There won't be anything there yet, but you'll be able to sign up for our newsletter and we'll let you know as soon as it's up and running. And then you can go and see this work that I get to, you know, I'm privileged to see every day.
And, oh, so there's already a landing page. If someone goes into this URL, they can already sign up for, and you'll be in touch with them. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Okay. So we got started here and I think it's high time. Okay.
Yeah,
thank you so much. Ofer Shastari, an art management specialist who's now making it her business to bring the artists of Judea and Samaria to where they rightfully need to be and create a physical space, but also a virtual space. And I think it's really fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, everybody. Eve Harrow, Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. All I could say is I have no new grandchildren this week. That was just, you know, that doesn't happen every week, as you know. But thank you all who wrote to me and wished me congratulations. And also for those who wrote and appreciated the interview that I replayed with Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. And I'm glad that you enjoyed it also and will continue to be inspired by his words, even though he is no longer with us. So take care, everyone. Eve Harrow, Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. Thanks to Ben and thanks to Tabitha. Take care, everyone. Goodbye for now.
Shalom, everybody. This is Jeremy Gimpel from the Land of Israel Network, but also from the Land of Israel Fellowship. We have members from 31 countries joining us every week, Sunday, live at 6 p.m. For those that can't make it live, they get a direct recording. Just go to thelandofisrael.com/fellowship We're growing together, we're learning together, we're celebrating together. The gates are open for all who want to come and join.